finally, it is operational. SightToTheBlind.com calendar is in effect. Feel free to scroll, feel free to look at, feel free to follow. I am not forcing this calendar upon anybody. Let me explain the reason why I'm going with this calendar. Because I know there's a lot of calendars out there. Even Brother Ron has his own calendar. But let me tell you why I'm doing the calendar that I am doing. In Jubilee 6, 33 and 34, it says, "But if they do neglect and do not observe them according to his commandment, then they will disturb all their seasons, and the years will be dislodged from this order. And they will disturb the seasons, and the years will be dislodged, and they will neglect their ordinances. And all the children of Yahshua will forget and will not find the path of years, and will forget the new moons and seasons and Shabbats, and they will go wrong as to all the order of the years." He didn't say we would recover from this. He never said that we would recover from this. So in my reasoning, when he says they will disturb the seasons, that means the land is no longer a focus in the calendar. So whatever calendar that you guys are on, whether it be in the Northern Hemisphere, whether it be from the Israel point of view, it's going to disturb the seasons because the real biblical land is not in the Northern Hemisphere, I'm sorry to say. And I know I sound like a broken record about this, but it's true. If you go to one of the verses in scripture, you look this up. I forgot what prophet said this, but the Most High told a prophet that no more will it be said that Yahuwah took the children of Yashareel out of Mitzrayim. That the Most High Yahuwah have taken the children of Yashareel out of the land of the north and all the places where I have driven them. The north. If you think the real biblical lands are in the northern hemisphere because you focus on the Middle East Israel, we weren't taken from Russia, Greece, Rome, Italia, Spain. That is north to that hemisphere. North. We were sent by ships west. They picked us up in West Africa. We went west. So either you think the Most High doesn't understand direction, or you don't understand direction. So when the Most High said that the land of the north, if you look at southern Namibia, that is south, and the land of the north is North America and all the places where the Most High dispersed us. This is why my calendar is set on the seasons of South Africa. Since we cannot find the path of years, because we didn't start counting the moon until recently, we don't know what Jubilee this is. We don't know when the moon came and gone for 10 days short or 10 days too soon. We don't know. We came into this walk. The moon has already been changed. The laws and statutes with the moon has already been changed. When I see these other solar calendars starting in March and April, they do not have any new moons in their calendar. They don't have new moons in their calendar. Enoch 78:14 is in there for a reason. When he says, when the light is first received upon the moon, it is the first day. That is the new moon. It's mentioned multiple times in scripture, and it's mentioned multiple times with the word Shabbat. So the new moon to the first Shabbat, in between is 6 days. Then it's 7 days after that, because the new moon counts as the first day. It doesn't count as a blanket day where it's just, you don't do nothing, and then the day after you count one, two, because most people will start doing this eighth day instead of the new moon being the first day. All you have to do is download the moon app, You don't even have to do that no more because I have given you the moon phases on this calendar. So you see it repeatedly. The reason why I'm also on this calendar is because multiple scriptures, about three witnesses, has told me that the moon sets the appointed feasts. It never says that the moon would be waning, waxing, or completely dark for new moon, for appointed feasts. It even says in detail, the feasts are appointed by the moon, a light that decreases in her perfection. What is the moon's perfected state? It is a full moon. So Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot are all in the middle of the month, the 14th and the 15th day. The moon is full then. All the other calendars that you guys follow, that solar calendar, the moons are all over the place. The moons are never full. And if you're lucky, you may have one feast day that's full. But the rest of them are going to be waning, waxing, or whatever different phase of the moon they call. But I'm going by scripture. I was very meticulous and very detailed with everything I followed. I even put it in the calendar when you tap on an icon, say, like, for instance, Purim. There's a Israelite woman, resembling Esther. If you tap on the icon, the verses come up of where I got the feast day. If you go anywhere else on that calendar, if you tap on the trumpet stands for new moon, and it has all the ordinances that talk about the new moon ordinances, where you have to blow a silver trumpet. I'm talking about everything. Everything I could find, I put it in the calendar. Now I'm going to include the maps that I found, which backs up why I follow the seasons of the Southern Hemisphere for my starting point. I'm putting all this in there for you to understand why I'm doing this, that I'm not making this up. This is not my calendar, to tell you the truth. It's not my calendar. I'm trying to follow as close as I can to Enoch's calendar and the biblical land. And why the biblical land is important? Because even Paul mentioned in Acts that he had to stop what he was doing to travel back to Jerusalem for the Feast of Shavuot. He could have done it anywhere, but he had the ability to leave what he was doing and go into the Southern Hemisphere to do this feast day. We aren't in a position to just drop what we're doing and to go fly over into Southern Namibia for a feast day and come right back. We don't have that option. So the best I can do is to mirror the seasons of Southern Africa. If you go to David Rumsey's map collection, if you want a little bit of the evidence, type in when it says search by maps through text, type in Agog. Agog doesn't appear anywhere else but in Southern Africa. We know Agog is the descendant of the Amalekites, which is a descendant of Esau. The whole book of Samuel is about the bloodline of Agog and what Saul should have done in cutting down that bloodline. And then that bloodline traveled into Medai, which was Persia, which at the time was Central Africa. That's where the Persians came from. If you go back to Yasher or Jubilees, Medai married into the line of Shem. He did not want to stay in the Europe regions. He wanted to stay in the land of Africa. So he married into the bloodline of Shem. This is where Persians come from. Not the whited out Arabs that they'd have moved everything to the Middle East and say, oh, this is the Persians, these are the Armenians, blah, 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 blah. No, get that out of your mind. Everything started in Africa. Even if you want to go through a curse in Deuteronomy 28:50. It says the Most High will bring a nation against us, fierce continents, swifter than the eagle flies, and they will not regard the young nor the old. There is one nation that has used the eagle as their symbol, and that was Rome. It even says in other parts of the Bible that, now, I mean, back up. Now, when he says in Deuteronomy 28:50, I'm going to send them from afar, if you think it is that fake land over in the Middle East, that's not far. From Rome to Israel that you know, that's not far. Not far at all. Now, from southern Namibia to Rome, now that is far. There's somewhere else in scripture, I can't think of it on the top of my head. He said, I'm going to remove them. You tried to remove, he was talking to a nation. He said, you tried to remove them far from their border. And he was talking about Kittim or the Yavinium, the Grecians. And again, Greece or Rome is close to that fake land, Israel. So that cannot be the right location. When he said far from their border, he's talking about Africa. That's like common sense to me. Even if you go into the Book of Kings, King Solomon said, if they turn to your land and pray, you will hear them. Till this day, I face towards Jerusalem in the southern hemisphere. You know how easy it is to do that? You bring up your Apple Maps. Then if you have a compass on it, all you do is turn the compass to where it faces the southern hemisphere. And then that's how I pray. I'm in my closet. I'm tilted in a way where I'm praying towards our land. That's how important is it the Most High's land is to him. That the calendar is set by him through that land. Where do you think Enoch was? Do you think Enoch was in Rome? Before Rome was Rome, do you think that's where Enoch was when he wrote the calendar? When he understood the seasons, when he understood the moon, understood the movement of the sun and moon, where do you think he was? If they told you or put it in plain sight in front of your face that southern Africa, the very tip, used to be called the Garden Route District, and it also called the Eden Municipality. If you go to the 1411 De Verga map, he has a concentric ring near southern Africa where four rivers sprout out from that location. It's the same rivers that's mentioned in the book of Genesis. They know where the real biblical lands are, which is why they tried so much to cover it up. This is why they tried to make so many attempts to cover it up, but also put it in your face. There is a municipality in southern Africa called Kanaland. Look it up. Kanaland. Same thing as Canaan's land. The K that they use is a Paleo-Hebrew symbol. It's an Aleph symbol. Now, why would they have this? Why would they put this in your face? So you won't go digging. So you just think, oh, they just renamed this place Canaan's land after paying homage or respects to the real land of Canaan in the Middle East. This is what my research has led me to believe. That's why I do the Southern Hemisphere. It's just the reason why I do this calendar. This calendar is based upon the moon. That's why I'm doing it. Anybody else, truly, anybody else's calendar, you test them. I like people coming to me like, hey, do you know about this calendar, that calendar? No, you test the calendar that they are telling you to follow. Because when are they blowing the trumpet on the new moon? I don't see those verses in these calendars. Where is it? When they do their feast day, Pesach, Shavuot, or Sukkot, is if you go outside on that particular day, in the beginning of that feast day, is the moon full? I'm going by what it says in scripture. And I put this in multiple videos exclaiming why I'm on this calendar. Multiple videos on Sight to the Blind Instagram. You tell me why they're not doing it correctly. Because people are stuck doing a solar calendar and they're stuck doing Friday evening to Saturday evening Shabbats. And I told you why people were on that, because they misconstrue what Genesis says when it talks about evening and morning being the first day. So how can people have a solar calendar on different months but still have the same Friday evening to Saturday evening Shabbats. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't. People having Shabbats in the middle of Pesach, because the 14th day should be the Shabbat. But because of their 14th day, it runs into a Friday, Saturday evening. So that ends up being a Shabbat. And then they do another Shabbat on the back end after the feast day is over. And that's not correct. So everything I put in that calendar, as far as what I follow, is backed up by scripture. Now, you go to their calendar and see where their calendar, compare their calendar to mine and compare the scriptures to what I put in these dates with the scriptures. Simple. That's how you can clarify what calendar to follow. I choose to do more because I'm an opportunity to do more. He has given me rest to do more, so I will do more. I know some of you like convenience. I understand that. Some of you like convenience of a Friday evening, Saturday evening because you don't work. You like the convenience of where these feast days are. You like the convenience of not really having to do an offering or a sending smoke offering, a burnt offering, a heave offering, a wave offering, a drink offering every single Shabbat. You're in a convenient pattern. But how do you grow? Did not Yahushua say that heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field? Now, if you're doing the bare minimum of a calendar or doing the bare minimum of scripture, how can you say that you have found this treasure? I'm telling you, I've been digging. Since I found where the real land is, I've been digging. Digging, seeking diligently, seeking 10 times after I found them. That's what I've been doing. And I, like I said before, I have the opportunity, I am blessed with rest to do all of this because I don't have to work a 9-to-5 job. I don't have to go through the same things you guys go through. And I guess that's the grace that the Most High has given me because he knew I would search hard for him. He knew that if I was given a task from him, I would see it to completion. He knows if I got the heart to do what I do in the football field, to do what I do in the weight room, to do what I do season in, the season out, every summer camp, every OTA, every mini camp. Just imagine what my heart and what my mind and what my strength can do if he could just put me in the house with complete rest and say, do this, and you don't even have to go outside and run. You don't have to go to the gym and weight train. You don't have to sign contracts. All I want you to do is to seek and search me and tell people what you found. But I'm telling you, there is a bigger rest to be had if you go the route that I am going. Nothing is impossible with the Most High Yahuwah. If you seek rest, follow the calendar. Do more for him than you do more for this world. That's what I'm on. And I know most people don't want to follow because the Shabbats jump around. But the beauty of that is, when the Shabbats jump around, it will jump around on a date that you're able to do something on. The Most High knows where he sent us. He has given us grace for us to return to him. However that looks like for you, he's given us grace to return to him. I'm showing you there's multiple opportunities to make that man upstairs happy. If he's happy, you're blessed. That's all I'm saying. And another evidence of this is the book of Daniel. When they were going to come down on Daniel for not worshiping their God, what did they catch Daniel doing? They caught Daniel standing in front of the window facing Yerushalayim. If they were in Babel, that means they were in Sudan. If they were in Babel, they were in Sudan. So he was in Sudan, facing out the window towards Yerushalayim. That's what he was looking when he was praying. He could have prayed facing Egypt. He could have prayed facing India. He could have prayed facing Mount Paran or Palestine. He could have faced all different directions that he wanted to face. But he chose to look at the direction of Yerushalayim, to pray to the Most High Yahuwah. The Most High Yahuwah would have heard him anywhere because he was so righteous. But out of respect for the land, out of respect for his people, out of respect for the Most High Yahuwah, he chose to face out that window towards Yasharel. So if I have the ability to do that in the land of my captivity, I'm going to do so. I'm not arguing with anybody else after this about a calendar on why I'm doing this and why I'm doing that, because everything I have told you is in that calendar backed up by scripture. It don't come from somebody else's friend. It don't come from Nick Vanderland. It don't come from Become Set Apart. It don't come from my brother Ron. I love him to death, but don't come from him. It came all from the books that I've seen, and I have put every scripture that I found that is relatable to the calendar, I put it in those dates. And I'm going to expand that calendar with maps. I'm going to expand it with everything I found on the David Rumsey's map collection. Now, if they can't do that, then I don't know why you're following that calendar. But I am excited. Truly, I am excited because I can see so many possibilities for that website. Hopefully, I want to get into selling Sight to the Blind t-shirts. I mean, it's a dope design, the logo that I have. It'd be cool to have that design, the sunglasses, and you'll see the homepage of the website. I want to use that quote on the back of the shirts. But I really want to build it out to, you know, eventually talk about the wines that I use, because I only use South African wines when I do my drink offerings and when the offerings need to be mingled with flour, salt, oil, and wine. I choose to use, you know, organic flour. I choose to use the salt, which is salt from South Africa. It's called auric salt. They sell it in Whole Foods. I think they sell it in all grocery stores, but it comes from South Africa. The reason why I'm trying to do everything I can to make it like I'm at home, that I'm at my ancestors, my forefathers' home. That's how much I care. Most people don't care. Again, the Most High is not making this information known to a lot of people, too. I could force this calendar on anybody's throat, but at the end of the day, it's either their Ruach is going to accept it or it won't. And it's not my job to make it in a way that it's soothing to your soul if you swallow it the way I give it to you. It really isn't on me. Sometimes the Most High don't want everybody to be doing certain things or stumbling upon certain things, because that's not what he called them for. So I am truly blessed because he has given me this information to understand and me this information to share. And it's on him to whoever receives it will receive it, because they were meant to receive it. A brother BT in the last episode asked me that if it's a possibility for me to speak on that mid-level grind of this walk, how you felt, what was your biggest challenges, and what you did to get over the hump. I feel so many of us are in the mid-purge where we are fighting ourselves and the world and pushing to be obedient. I want to know, what did you get ahead of it? What did you do to get ahead of it? What was your lowest point? So that mid-level means when you're on the grind, when you're in the walk, and you've conquered the things that were easily conquered. You beat the stumbling blocks and snares that were easy to see and to get over. But I think the biggest thing that you will suffer through is the consistency. It is not consistency with following Shabbats or following feast days or following the word to be righteous. It truly is to be consistent when you are tested or tempted, or when you're not in the mood to follow scripture, when things blindside you. Now, it could come in different ways. depending on what you suffer through. If you have an issue with anger, if you have an issue with pride, if you have an issue with vanity, if you have an issue with vengeance and wrath, you will be tested over time through these issues to see if you make it through. And that's really all it is in the mid-level. When the mid-level purge is really fine-tuning your ruach, when you don't react to certain things. When people don't listen to you, do you react or overreact? When people cross you, do you react or overreact? Or do you give them grace? Do you give them understanding that you're on a different level now, that you don't need to act out of your flesh anymore? So my biggest challenges was wrath. In my first relationship, when I came into the truth, I did not know how to lead properly. Mind you, we were doing edibles, we were doing drugs, still, but I knew the truth. But my thing was, like I said, is that consistency and leaving old habits behind, is that I will go back and forth in two worlds. And I think I explained this with that vision that the Most High Yahweh gave me. And so whenever I was good for a couple of weeks. But anytime there was a snare or a stumbling block created by me trying to lead, I would tap out, I would give up easily, and I would search out wrath. Whether it be me going out drinking, whether it be entertaining women, would it be being lustful? That was my go-to. And I found out over time, I started removing certain vices away from me, certain avenues and options away from me when I started to get mad. So when I proposed in the relationship I know I'm no longer in, but when I proposed, I was like, okay, I'm ready. Now I'm ready, because after some months, I stopped letting her and I stopped letting things get to me. I started to understand the ignorance that people lived in most of their lives. I understood that the reason why people aren't following and the reason why people aren't understanding is because they're still trapped in a world that they know. They're comfortable and they like to be convenient with their own things. They don't like to be inconvenient or inconvenience. I started thinking more about people's past, how they were raised, who their parents were. And I listened more than me directing, this is what we should do, that's what we should do. I started observing. So I stopped being mad. I stopped overreacting. I was like, okay, I would take it to the Most High Yahuwah. It's something that really I would never do in none of my relationships, is take it to Yahuwah. And I'm telling you, it was times where I yelled, screamed. I even dropped some curse words out of frustration, but not at the Most High, but just speaking out loud. And then I would ask the Most High, like, what do you want me to do? To a point, I actually gotten so much better that if anything that blew would usually make me blow up, I would go to the Most High and was like, I'm not going to have an unequally yoked household. So I would put it in his hand before I made any drastic decisions about wrath or lust. I would tell him straight up, I'm not having an unequally yoked household. So I will cut anything and everything off just to stay on your path. So anytime I'm tested, regardless if it's in my relationship or outside of my relationship, I really give it to the Most High Yahuwah. Because if he wants me shaken, he will shake me himself. I'm not going to let outside people who, if I observe their life and I observe their patterns and I observe what they show me, I don't jump anymore. I am not in fear of anybody walking away from me, because the Most High has always delivered for me. Always. So once he did it the first time, I know he can continually do that for me as long as I stay loyal. Now, while you're in this world, there's some things that you want to do that you're not going to be able to do. And sometimes you press that on your ruach, or Paul says quench, when you quench your ruach. There's some things I wanted to do and did that was very worldly that the Most High had to correct me on. Sometimes you don't know how far you can go unless you do it. A brother Gate told me a story about how he was seeing this girl, and it was a Shabbat. And these girls wanted to, or they wanted him to cook. They wanted to throw it down on the grill. And he was like, hey, it's Shabbat, I can't cook. But they kept pressing him into a fact that he had to go out and buy the food. Now, he did all this, but he understood the Most High's judgment where he should have stopped. And like, again, I say, you don't know how far is too far unless you do it. Mind you, I would not rather you do it, but that just comes with the part of the walk. Sometimes you forget that the Most High sees everything. And sometimes you feel like he don't even care about you. So you be like, all right, one day you be like, and you'll get it in your mind that the Most High won't care, that I'm just doing this, and then he'll show himself to you. That comes and goes throughout this walk. If you think, oh, I just need to go out for this one drink, and then you get there, you get this one drink, and it's either it poison you or it won't do nothing for you, or something happens with this drink that you wanted to take at this spot that you shouldn't have been in, and then something happens. You think it's innocent, but the Most High has to show you, like, no, I don't want you going down this route, this route, because if you keep going down there, it's going to get worse for you. I've seen what you've done. If I continue to let you do it, you don't know where this ends. I'm trying to keep you on this path so you can end up with me, not end up in Sheol or in judgment. And what I did to get ahead of wrath, vengeance, and lustfulness is really face it head on. That's what I did. I faced it head on. You don't know if your flesh is dulled or quiet unless you're presented with the same challenges that you keep failing from. That is a long process. Brothers talk to me so many times about facing lust and not being able to conquer it or struggling with conquering it. Look, being in lust or looking at lustful images, I'm telling you, it's not going to be an overnight thing where you just, I'm going to pray, fast, and boom, it should be over. No, because that's when the heat gets turned up. That's when they come full force at you, when you start saying, hey, I don't want to be lustful no more. I don't want to look at these images. They're like, oh, no, we know you. We know what you're capable of. We know what you like. And they will give you all the top highlights of every crush bottled up into one person, and they're going to put it in front of your face on any algorithm until you fall. That's going to happen for the first 3-4 months. When you declare that you're not going to be lustful anymore, it is an ongoing battle with that until you really come to your senses and say, all right, the Most High is not going to take this away from me, because if you take it away from me, I know it's going to be something else I'm going to fall in love with, and I'm going to ask the Most High to take that away from me. So you're not really building up the strength to follow or be obedient to the Most High. You're relying on Him to do all the work while you sit back and just enjoy falling back and forth. The whole point of this walk is for you to be obedient. He gives you the power and the free will for you to challenge it. So I, over time, it's like, all right, I know where I'm going to see certain images, so I'm not going to look at it no more for a while. I know where my mind is going when I'm upset, when I'm being wrathful, or when I'm being vengeance or seeking vengeance. I know where it goes. I start playing it. This guy on TikTok said, I start playing the tape forward. And that's what I do. I play it forward. I'm like, all right, if I go down this avenue, after I've already committed myself to the Most High, I know the Most High has the ability to take away my rest and my peace, take away the options, the ability to finance myself, and He's going to throw me into a 9-to-5 where I don't want to work, but I'll end up having to work to support a family. I would take all that time. That time would be taken away from me. He could take my house. He could take my car. He could put me in court. He could raise up enemies. Do I really want to go down this path? Nah, I'm good. I like being at rest. I like not being able to work. I like the avenue I'm on right now. That's what I do when I play it forward. That's how I got over it. When I start thinking the Most High knows where I'm at now, he knows because he's contacted me either through his voice or through visions or through dreams. Now I know I'm on his radar. I can't go back. Even if I wanted to, even if I was so upset that I just want to throw my hands up and say, I'm done, I quit, I still wouldn't do it. I may think it, I may say it, but I would never do it. Because the consequences is a lot steeper than a hole I'm going to dig by going into whatever vice that's going to appease me for 3 hours, 4 hours, and maybe not even that long. That's how you get over it. Start thinking about what the Most High can do to you before you do anything. I like this verse or these couple of verses because I read them in the midst of my mid-purge. Was fourth book of Ezra 14, 13 through 18. It says, now therefore set your house in order and reprove your people. Comfort such of them as be in trouble and now renounce corruption. Let go from your mortal thoughts, cast away the burdens of man, put off now the weak nature, and set aside the thoughts that are most heavy unto you, and haste you to flee from these times. For yet greater evils than those which you have seen happen shall be done hereafter. So I see that as, if I'm setting my house in order, that means I have to prepare for the greater temptation that's going to come. If I can't handle my own vices, my own lust, when I'm really not being tested, how I'm going to handle this world to come where it's going to be more temptation, more vice, and it's going to be offered to me freely. How I'm going to say no, how I'm going to turn my back on it and stay on the plan for the Most High Yahuwah. If you fall victim or become weak now, you are not going to have the strength later on. That's why he gave us this wilderness. This is why he gave us this time to truly turn our back on this world and follow him. Because while this wave of judgment comes upon this whole world, we will be saved out of it. We will be on a surfboard riding this wave. So yeah, we're going to go through little types of temptations here and there, but the Most High is not going to put anything on our plate that we can't handle. Especially when he knows that we already done the work to find him. For look how much the world shall be weaker through age, so much the more shall evils increase upon them that dwell therein. For the time is fled far away, and falsehood is hard at hand. For now hasten the vision to come, which you have seen. Hebrews 3, 7 through 11. Wherefore, as the Ruach HaKodesh says, today if we hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation which is in anger, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He is big on his ways. Not my ways, but his ways. So he knew I would eventually find his ways. This is why I had the rest already given to me as a gift. Because the Most High sees exactly where I will end up. Either I'm ended up in Sheol or hell, or I end up in New Jerusalem, new heaven, new earth with him. So he's given me an advance on peace and rest. And I'm just living up to that peace and rest. I hope I answered his brother's question. Now, my lowest point of all this is the loneliness you feel even when you have people around you. That's the loneliest point, the lowest point you feel is not having that connection. When you're in your mid-level purge, after you go in and out of the challenges of leaving this world and putting away your vices or your childish ways, it's the isolation that comes from it. You don't have that same connection. Even when you follow your old friends on Instagram or social media, you want to be included in the conversation. You want to be included in the group chats. You want to be included when people do trips. You want to be included when you do when your friends get together and want to do dinners. But because you've shown yourself to walk in a different light, you're not getting those texts anymore. You're not getting those calls anymore. You're not getting those rendezvous, those invites. People kind of leave you alone. That's the lowest point, is feeling alone in this walk and not having anybody to talk to. Even when you're struggling through whatever vice or whatever snare or stumbling block that is laid before you, you can't pick up the phone and say, "Hey, man, when I follow the Shabbats, I'm stumbling because I have to go to work. I have to go do this." Or like, "Hey, I'm doing this feast day, but I'm not sure I'm doing it right." There's not many people that we can pick the phone up and call and say, "Hey, what's going on?" Because we're all learning at the same time. And we're not trying to be misled or led astray. So most of us stay isolated and we stay within ourselves. We truly are relying on the Most High to comfort us, which is the silver lining to all this. When you're going through isolation, when you feel lonely and you feel down, the Most High is always there to pick you up if you so choose to ask and pray for it. But that's just your ruach of this world dying off. That's all it is. You're basically mourning your old life while you're alive. You're pulling out the casket, you're putting the world in it, and you're getting ready to bury it 6 feet deep. So there is a process of mourning that you have to go through. I went through that. I think the most harsh reality of this isolation was that I was constantly crying over my parents. Constantly crying. Anytime I thought of them, I was crying. And I'm like, why am I crying? Like, why am I so emotional and sensitive right now about my parents? And I figured out why. It's because I'm mourning them. Because there will come a time where I will be separated from them forever. That they won't help me in the life after, nor will I be able to help them in the life after. That once my eyes are closed and once their eyes are closed, there's nothing I can do with their ruach and there's nothing they can do with mine. If I'm lucky enough to make it into the new Yerushalayim, new heaven, I have to be satisfied with the fact that I may not see my family members. I may not see my brother anymore. I may not see my sister anymore for all eternity. If I'm blessed enough to make it, that is what really makes it you're in your lowest point. When you start realizing this, like the people you love, the people you hung out with, the people you shake hands with, the people that done great things for you, you may not see them in the life after forever. And that's a long time. We've been on this earth a very short span of being on this earth and forming the relationships that we form and become very attached to them, to start thinking about not having them in your life for all eternity. So yes, that's my lowest point, was realizing that. Mourning people that are still alive. Hebrews 3:12-17. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living Yahuwah. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Mashiach, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Mitzrayim by Moshe. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness?" So if we're in the wilderness, I'm not trying to have my carcass left anywhere in the wilderness. I needed him to sustain me throughout my mid-level purge. And he did. He understood. I wouldn't even be here if I was going to fall victim to lust, wrath, vengeance, or whatever foolishness I was going to get into, drunkenness, nightlife. He would have been erased me from this earth. He would have erased me faster than how Chris Johnson going to be erased. Than any other football player that you've seen pass through weird circumstances in the last 2 or 3 years, I could have been one of them. Easily could have been one of them. But I'm only here today because I choose to be obedient. I choose to search. That's the free will that he gives us. It's to try to do as much as you can with that free will, because you're not going to be able to change anything once your eyes are closed. You wouldn't want to stand in front of him in judgment, damn, saying, damn, I wish I could have done more of this. I wish I could have done this for him. I wish I could have helped or give alms to the poor or clothes to the needy. I wish I could have done more. I'm trying to my best ability to not have second guesses. As they say in sports, I try to leave it out all on the field. So yeah, so that's what I'm doing with the calendar. That's like my final work, is coordinating that calendar. So you understand how time is being moved. The Most High said the laws of the moon would be changed. It would come in 10 days too soon. How can you know the moon is coming in 10 days too soon if you're on a solar calendar? How can you know when time is being sped up if you're on a solar calendar? How can you keep 364 days when the Most High said the moon would short itself 10 days? These are the questions you need to start asking people who are creating calendars. The verses are there. I don't ever see people bring them up or bring them out. When they talk about these calendars, they give what they're going to do in these feast days, and that's it. They just give a feast day calendar, Yom Terah, Hanukkah. Some of them don't even put Purim, but Purim is just a respect. It's a respectable feast day. And it's on 14 and 15. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think they made Purim on 14 and 15? Because the moon is full of light. It's almost equal to the sun. And if you look at the sun as a man and the moon as a woman, that is when it all connects. Because it was the Most High that allowed Esther to save the whole nation of Yasharel from Haman, which was a descendant of Agag. So I give respect to that feast day. Most people don't put it on their calendars. But like I said, I try to do everything that's in that book that's related to a calendar. Zechariah has some fast in it. It says the fast of the first, fourth, fifth, seventh, or tenth. I put it on the calendar. But there's fast, and it's a symbol of a lion. So if you tap on that lion, those verses will come up. So it's supposed to be a fast for the tribe of Yehuda. It's supposed to be just a fast of gladness and joy. Participating in that because I'm part of that tribe. It's a statute. It's an ordinance. It's the Most High's ways. He wants to see how much you're going to do. Aren't we bought with a price? A great price? This man gave his life for us to repent, be redeemed, and to follow his ways. A great price. Why do we want to sell his Yeshua cheap? Why do we want to cheapen up his anointing oil by only doing the bare minimum? I mean, like I said, he puts us in a very tough situation. The more you learn, the more you feel like you got to do. You really can't turn from it. It's almost, I wouldn't say a curse in itself, because it does come with blessings. I mean, amazing blessings. But it's like once you learn scripture, you just can't put the scriptures down and say, okay, I'm going to stop here and not go no further. Like your ruach edges you on. This is why he talks about that mustard seed. That mustard seed turns into an oak. That mustard seed turns into a mighty tree. It don't just stay a mustard seed. It don't stay like a branch or a 4-foot little tree. It grows. It continues to grow until it comes to maturity. How do you know if you came to maturity or not if you are not following all of the scriptures? I mean, like he says, that his laws and statutes are not grievous. You know, all the money that I spent on these offerings and not even eating these expensive meats that I offered to him, I've gotten my money back, to tell you the truth. I have. I've gotten my money back. And then some. I'm just telling y'all I'm just telling you how it's been rolling over here. I pay like what? I do 4 Shabbats, and on those 4 Shabbats, I offer 2 lamb shanks. They're like $14. So, you know, I suck at math when I can't do it on top of my head. So 14 times 4, 16, like $65, $70, whatever. It's that much every month. So when the Most High chooses to bless me, it could be after 3 months, it could be after 4 months, you know, then we're looking at about $500, $600, 4 to 5 months or 6 to 7 months or something like that. The Most High will repay me in due time, and it's always above what I ever paid as an offering to him. I'm just following his statutes. For instance, my dad and my mom have a summer house in Myrtle Beach, and it was selling this house. The first buyer fell through. Now, mind you, while they're doing all this, I'm still being obedient, loyal, focused on the Most High statutes, you know, living righteously, turning from sin and all that. I'm still being good. So that deal fell through. Then they get another buyer. Then they sold it, which was fairly quickly. So the money that my parents got from selling this house, they gave my sister, my brother, and me $10,000. Didn't even have to ask for it. But I asked the Most High in prayer because I was always, you know, a little separated from my father because, you know, obviously, you know, his connection with IOTA, a Greek fraternity. So I have to sometimes ask the Most High, is like, is this legit? Is this real? Like, you know, am I welcoming can I welcome my father back? Like, am I allowed to be around him? Like, how should I treat this relationship now? And the Most High gave me a sign. I think my father posted on his Instagram a picture of my son, but I don't think he realized that the menorah was in the picture in the background. So when I prayed to the Most High about this, my father sent the link to the story that he posted with my son, and there was the menorah in the background. So I was like, all right, the Most High heard me. So after that, that's when the Most High is like, all right, here's this blessing. For what you've done for me this thus far, here's another blessing. Here's 10,000. So I'm telling you it works. I'm just telling you from my point of view and my experience that it works. Now, from mind you, 10,000 or 50,000 or 20,000 can look somewhere different for you. It could be a relative that you didn't even know of, could have passed on and left you some money. It could have been, like I said, Yahusha at the time when he told Peter, Kepha, to go into the ocean and look for the fish, and it was money in the fish's mouth. Fam, it works the same way. It works the exact same way. You don't know where Yahusha or Yahuwah can make money appear in your life if you're really suffering financially or you need a little blessing. You don't know where these blessings come from. And the fact that we know the story about Yahusha telling Kepha to go fish out this fish that has money in its mouth just shows how you don't have to look for nothing, really. You don't have to do a whole lot. Once you bless and get the things that you need, it will come to you. But it will come to you if you are being obedient. It will come to you if you're searching out his ways. I'm just telling you the rest that he has given me. And the rest is working. The peace is working. I really don't even get mad like that no more. Only stuff I get mad at is whatever happens inside this house. But that's doable. That's doable frustration or doable disappointments. That's stuff I can handle. I don't really have no problems from the outside world coming into my world or disrupting anything. I'm truly at peace. anything that happens to me now is just something to prove or sharpen my Ruach. That's how I see it now. Any disturbance or any challenges that I face is for me to sharpen my Ruach and how I handle situations. That's what you can look forward to when you're in your mid-level purge. When you come out of it and you truly conquer those things, and like you say, you play, like I said, you play the tape forward. Once you go through that, I'm telling you, you know exactly when you're going to be tested. Because it's almost like clockwork. You know exactly when demons raise their head or unclean rocks raise their head to try to tempt you. And it's so funny because you start remembering the last time it happened and you start to notice a pattern. That's why I think pattern recognition is really the top tier gift of the Ruach. To be able to recognize a pattern and knowing exactly when it happens, when it comes upon you, so you know how to react. And I think this is what Yahusha must have felt when he knew that the Yehudim wanted to stone him, then wanted to apprehend him, then wanted to kill him. He must have knew that it was like a pattern that they were going to come up and search for him. So he was able to duck and hide and was like, all right, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. Like, I'm going to go up to this man's house to eat this feast of Pesach. That it was so easy for him to move in and out because he felt that pattern, that he knew when they were going to approach him. That's how it is now. When you get over, you know, the mid-level of purging, you start to truly redefine your Ruach and sharpen your Ruach in such a way that your discernment is top tier. Me, I know when people are going to call me before they call me. It's weird. It really is. I know when people are going to text me before they text me. Me and my wife got this weird thing going on where we're like telepathic. I can sense what she's about to say, so I say it, and then she say, oh, you're in my mind. But that is the Ruach, because obviously we have one flesh, so really we're really of one mind. But I feel what is going to come out of our mouth when I feel it and hear it in my head. Like I said, it's like the old school cartoons we used to watch growing up. When you knew when a character, let's say Bugs Bunny or Elmer Fudd, was going to pick up a rock or throw something in the background, you knew when they're going to touch it because it stood out a different way. That's how it feels right now in the Ruach. I know who's going to approach me before they approach me. I know who's going to talk to me before they talk to me. I know who I'm going to interact in this world before they ever interact with me, only because that's how sharpened my Ruach is, because I don't overreact or react to certain things anymore. Now I'm getting better at it. Like, certain times I am tested. Sometimes I do want to get out of my car and have a whole road rage moment. But the Most High removes me from those, you know, having those circumstances. But I'm telling you, it's a blessing to be at this level of peace and see things unfold, and you know when things are coming and you can prepare for it. Now, mind you, it will disturb you. It will do a little shaking of your Ruach, but it's not, trust me, it's not going to make you run to a strip club. It ain't going to make you run to the bar. It ain't going to make you smoke weed. It's not going to make you get drunk. Like, it ain't like that no more. That's the best part of it. It's not like that no more. You would think sometimes you laugh at yourself like, damn, if this happened to me 5 years ago or 10 years ago, I'd be looking for a bag. I'd be doing lines in the bathroom, and I'd be drunk, and I wouldn't come home till 7 in the morning or 8 in the morning. That's how I look at it. I'm glad I'm not on that type of time anymore. And I don't know how my body, my mind, and my Ruach even tolerated doing all that. I'm telling you, just to tell you, like, one of my lowest moments of before I woke up was that. It was drinking a fifth of Jack Daniel, searching for a bag. If I can't get a bag, I'm searching for MDMA. I get a hold of MDMA, or I know I'm going somewhere out. And then I'm up for like 72 hours with maybe 2 to 3 hours of sleep. Going out again, searching for another bag. Don't get the bag, go get ecstasy. Get 5, 6, 7 pills of ecstasy. Can do about 7 of them in a night. Tearing my Ruach up. Being obliterated. This is how I knew there was life on the other side. This is how I knew that demons were really real. Like, after those wild nights, I would stare at myself in the mirror and see an unclean ruach's face superimposed over top of mine when I looked in the mirror. And the wild thing about it, I wasn't even scared. I wasn't even worried. That's the wild part. Like, I was just accepting my fate of being destroyed. So what I'm doing now is really a payback for the Most High not destroying me. Because he could have easily laced those pills that I was buying with fentanyl. He could have easily did it. I would easily overdosed. As hard as I was going, he could have easily done that. He could have laced one of those pills with fentanyl and I would have had an overdose in my house or in the street or in a club. And that's the final end of what you have known of me. But if you look at your past life and what you struggle with and look towards now, is the reason why you're here now is because the Most High gave you grace and he knew you would come to this level. He knew that you would have that ruach in you to leave your vices or leave bad habits alone. I guarantee it. If anybody is following this truth, he could have ended you a long time ago. You're only here now because he knew you would end up here. He knew it. So when you think about, oh, I'm really at the lowest point of this walk, like, oh, I'm feeling so isolated. Oh, I'm not feeling loved, or I'm not getting anything right. It's a struggle to stay in the Torah, a struggle to stay out of this world. Trust me, the Most High has not finished his work with you yet. You may be on the mid-level of it, but trust me, he has not finished with you yet.